If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
The puck drops. It is controlled by the Capitals inside their own zone, and there will be a handshake line tonight. The Carolina Hurricanes have come to Washington and closed out the series here in Game 5. Final score, 3-1.
Caps eliminated last night. 2-1 was the game until the empty netter, so they ended up losing 3-1. Get eliminated in the series 4-1 by the Hurricanes. So, once again, they make it to the second round, and they're eliminated, even though they had the best record in the Eastern Conference. We've seen this before, but I would say my opinion is there weren't great expectations for this team going in.
Yep, pretty low.
They squeaked into the playoffs last year on the last day. So, this year, we kind of expected the same. Instead, they had the one seed. They went around in the playoffs, so I'm a little torn. Was the season successful? We want to hear from you. 800-636-1067. I voted no in our poll because I think if they advanced past this round, I would have said success. Mm-hmm. All right, success, Ovi broke the record. But that's not team success. When you're the one seed, I think you expect to go beyond the second round. So I would lean not successful.
Generally, yes, but I'm going to say successful for the totality of the season. I mean, this team had the top record in the East. They're the second highest scoring team in the league. Go back to last season when this team could not score goals. They scored 220 goals in the 23-24 campaign. They scored 288 this season. I'm sorry, that's a huge leap. That's success. You mentioned Ovi breaking Gretzky's record. That's an individual milestone. So that's down the list. But Willie scored over 30 goals for the first time in his career. We saw the huge leaps taken by the young players, Mikey and Pro especially. I think that's a success. Like, and you went around in the playoffs when last year you got swept and you didn't really have much business being there. They showed that they belong there. Do they need tweaks going forward? Do they need to alter the roster so they're better in the postseason, especially on the power play? Yes, but if I had to grade it success or unsuccessful, I go successful.
I agree with pretty much everything you guys all said, especially considering that last year was so sort of unsuccessful, and they're in this transition period. And listen, they think, I don't know if I agree, I questioned it the day they did it, but they think they found their goalies, right? Mm-hmm. For the next five years, whatever.
The deals they handed them that they like that room.
I personally wouldn't have given them that long of deals, but they think they found their goalies. They've got new young players that they're adding into the mix. There's been a transition in the roster. I think everyone's universally pleased with Carberry. They think they've got their coach.
Although I saw a lot of criticism in the playoffs.
I've heard some.
You know, social media criticism in the playoffs. I don't know what he could have done. Switched around the lineup yesterday, and it paid off to an extent.
I mean, they
when
were
Bevilier
hyping up
scored.
The changes. They said they found something, mm-hmm. and you know, last night I heard them commenting on it. So I don't know. I think it was a success. It's a disappointing end for sure. You would have liked to have won at least another round, but that's the nature of the beast. I definitely think it was a successful season, and it lays the foundation for the future. It gives you hope for next season.
Definitely.
800-636-1067. Want to hear from Caps fans. How do you look at this season? How would you describe it? Here are a couple social media posts from our Facebook page, facebook.com/thejunks. Tony Postorino, this might be one of the worst seasons in 50 years. You can't dominate the regular season and then get destroyed in the playoffs and call it a success. I mean, they made it to the second round. I would say destroyed the playoffs would be losing in the first.
Let's also remember, you always say heading into the playoffs, you never want to face like the super hot goalie. There's not a hotter goalie in the league than Frederik Andersen. His goals against is 1.36 in the playoffs so far. The next closest is 2.19. His save percentage is 0.937. 20 percentage points higher than Logan Thompson, who came in at number two. So, look, does Logan Thompson want at least one of those goals he gave up last night back? Absolutely. But it's not like Logan Thompson played poorly throughout the entirety of the playoffs.
No, they couldn't score. In this round of the playoffs, the Caps couldn't score.
Right.
That was their biggest problem. How many goals did they have in the entire series?
Is it six? Five or six?
It's not enough.
It wasn't a lot. Yeah. I know it wasn't a lot.
1-800-636-1067. Taylor Klein says, bust. More focused on Ovi breaking a record than being prepared to win in the playoffs. Canes obliterated them. I see other people who call this season a bust. I wouldn't call it a bust. Like I said, I voted, and I would vote no, it wasn't successful, but I'm kind of like borderline.
They scored seven goals in five games. I mean, that's just not going to win you playoff series.
Mm-hmm.
And like the goal scoring dried up at the most inopportune time.
And it's not that you take it away, but one of them was on a 5-on-3. Like you better score. I mean, to me, the biggest example of their problem was that 4-minute power play where they didn't convert.
That's true.
Didn't even take a shot.
It's true.
Really,
but
that 4-minute power play.
They were playing into the teeth of their strength, which is killing penalties, right? That's why I thought it was just a bad freaking matchup. This team just happens to be the best in the league at killing penalties. Yeah, and we ran into a buzzsaw.
Here's another
perspective. I'm not sure. It's definitely an indictment on our power play. I'm not convinced.
800-636-1067. We'll go to your calls here momentarily. Paul Clark on Facebook says, come on, man. If the Wizards went to the playoffs every other year and got to the second round, we'd all be giddy. The Caps had another above-average season. Sure, we are all a little disappointed, but disappointment is better than shame of a perennial loser.
That's a good perspective from that listener.
I mean, he's probably right. It's just that I think the expectations are raised when you have the best record in the Eastern Conference. When you're the one seed, the expectations are get beyond the second round. Now,
yeah, but you know it's a crapshoot. You know it's a gauntlet. And you know that the regular season and what do they call the trophy you win in the regular season for
the worthless president's trophy?
Yeah, the president's trophy and all that stuff doesn't translate. So it's just a whole new season.
And again, did people really expect, I love what Carberry's done, but did they expect him to take a team that qualified on the last day last season and then just get them automatically to the Stanley Cup final the next season? Like, he's building something. He got a playoff appearance his first season. He wins a round in his second season. It's okay to build something, especially for a team where nobody had these expectations heading into the season. Nobody.
Right.
Nobody was picking the Caps saying, this team's loaded. They're going to be a Stanley Cup perennial favorite. Oh, and also, and this tilted me when it happened at the outset of the series, the Caps were the underdog in the series, which I thought was a sign of disrespect, but apparently Vegas kind of knew what they were talking about.
Here's a good question, though. Robert hits us up on Facebook, says, mixed feelings. They weren't really supposed to be playoff ready this year, but they made it. So on the other hand, about their record, was it a mirage?
I don't know.
I don't think so at all. When you're the second highest scoring team in the league, that is not a mirage, in my opinion. That's a team that realized its weaknesses heading into the offseason, addressed them with a lot of their moves, specifically targeting Jacob Chychrun. He was a big ad, scored 20 goals. Tom Wilson makes that next step, as did Protas and Mikey. Helped add to the scoring that Ovi always brings. I don't think it was a fluke at all.
You know, if they had maybe faced, I don't know, the Panthers. Or you know,
I don't like that matchup.
Well, I don't know. I just think it might have had a totally different outcome.
Maybe.
I think it's just, it's matchup specific in this instance. If they had maybe faced the Maple Leafs, it might have been
difficult. I'm not in a bad place with the Caps heading into the offseason. Am I disappointed they got knocked out? Sure. But I have confidence in Carberry. I have confidence in the front office and the roster that they've assembled and that they'll continue to assemble going forward.
All right. Let's go to the phones. Some of these. Let's go to Scott in Silver Spring. Scott, what's up, buddy?
Hey, how y'all doing, man?
Hey, Scott.
I think it was a successful season. I mean, we weren't expected to do what we did in the regular season. And like you just mentioned, I think it was just a bad matchup against Carolina. But I think it's also a measuring stick for them that, you know, where they got to get if they're going to compete. Because I think Carolina's fairly young, aren't they? And if you're going to compete with that teams like that, I mean, they see what they have to do. So I'm confident they'll add some more pieces and we should be a little better next year.
All right. Thank you, Scott. Appreciate it. The problem is, you know, who are the guys you're going to subtract? You're still going to rely on Ovi. You're still going to rely on Carlson. You're still going to rely on some of those older vets.
But they're adding younger pieces. They'll make whatever trades they feel need to be made, whatever free agent pickups and signings they feel improve the roster.
Yeah, but who are the guys?
I think TJ Oshie and Nick Backstrom's contracts come off the books after this season, so that's going to be some salary
cap
money.
Took their ice time that you would maybe say, you know what, we can upgrade that person. You said Lars Eller earlier.
Well, Lars Eller, I don't think is in their plans. I think Mangiapane, I don't think he is signed after this season, so that's probably a guy they're going to be looking to upgrade.
And how big of a loss was it not having Farivardi?
I think that was a pretty substantial loss. I mean, you had to lean on Alexiev for a lot of the playoffs, and he's pretty green at the NHL level.
I think they'll also figure out where Leonard is going to be, right? They were playing Leonard on the third line as a wing. You know, they moved around McMichael. McMichael developed this year.
He really seemed to come on. Don in Ashburn. Don, what's up, buddy? What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, when you think of, you know, we kind of like stumbled and tripped into the playoffs last year, and to, you know, be tops in the conference this year, it's unexpected. You get past the first round, which we as Caps fans was the hardest thing for us to do for so long. But I also, you know, I think a lot of people forget how hard it is in the NHL playoffs. It's a different animal, and that's why you see President Trophy teams that just don't get very far, because it's just a different level, and it's so much harder to win once you get into the playoffs. Probably harder than any sport, because we always see like the top teams in football and baseball and basketball typically make their way into the finals, the conference finals, or the championship finals. And in hockey, we just see that's not the case all the time. So I think when you just measure it all out from last year to this year and just how hard it is, I mean, it's a success. Plus, our the minor league system is stocked with talent. I mean, I think all the way around, I think it's been a good year.
Who are the fringe guys that you think they'll probably upgrade?
Right out of the gate, you almost wonder if Carlson is too old, but his experience is incredible. But you know, I mean, they sat Eller yesterday. I don't think you'll see Eller back. I'm trying to think who else. Mangiapane did not have a great – I don't think he lived up to expectations. That's all I can think of off the top of my head.
And then how big of a loss was it not having Farivardi?
Well, I mean, you know, I think that guy definitely makes a little bit of a difference. I think he does improve us. I don't know that we couldn't score.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's the biggest thing. But, yeah, I think that hurt. I think you want that guy back, and you want that guy in your lineup. But I don't know how much that really...
So you're going to be able to change this team like around the edges. It's not going to be a significant turnover, doesn't look like.
Well, I don't think it will be. I think there's some.
This year was a significant turnover.
Yeah. But I think they're going to have significant money to spend as far as acquiring a free agent with some of the expiring deals. Mm-hmm. So that's something that Chris Patrick and McClellan are going to have to figure out. Where are we going to allocate this money?
Absolutely.
How do we spend it?
Yeah. Thanks, Don.
And
Carly
has 1 year left on his deal. He's got $8 million coming next season.
How old is he now?
He'll be 36 in the next season.
He can still do it. Let's go to Gus in Arlington. Gus, what's up, buddy? You're on with the Junkies.
Hey, morning, guys. You know, I think the floor has been raised. No one expected this year to go so well.
Right.
I think they overperformed in the regular season. You think, look at teams like Vegas. They did almost as well as the Capitals, and they're out of the playoffs already. Jets may be out of the playoffs as well. So that just happens in hockey. I just think we have to figure out what the identity of the team is. Is this going to be Tom Wilson's team from here on out? Because we're no longer going to be Ovi's team at this point.
Yeah, I mean, passing the torch to Willie seems like the next logical step for him when Ovi eventually hangs it up.
Yeah, we have to figure out the other star as well. And so Case points out, like, we're going to get some money back, and then we have a good farm system. So that has to be the next step. But I trust the front office. I trust Carberry. And I think that's the positive thing going forward.
Gotcha. All right, thank you,
buddy. I think your perspective is right on. Somebody else tweeted us, said, Carolina was a much better team. Too many caps sucked this series, including Ovechkin, who looked 60. LT was very good at times, poor at others. Wilson's our leader and best player, not Ovi. Too many of our guys got outplayed for five games. We got humiliated deservedly. Buddy wrote, regular season improved.
Like, humiliated is a little bit of a strong term, but they got beaten by a better overall team.
Well, 4-1's pretty much a beatdown. They call it the gentleman's sweep,
hey,
right?
The 4-minute power play where they did not score was humiliating.
I didn't love that.
That is humiliating.
That's what I said. That typified what they were missing.
Mm-hmm. Greg Wyshynski did say that Ovechkin is getting into 5-on-5 liability territory.
Yeah, and he got less playing time.
That makes sense. I mean, the dude's almost 40. Like, I can understand him being a potential liability there.
Yeah, but did you see it?
Oh, yeah.
At certain times in the series, he looked kind of slow, like he was like out of gas.
Mm-hmm. That said, he almost had a goal. It ended up being deflected.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
In the perfect position with probably about 4 minutes left in the game.
Yeah, it was a great look.
Slap shot. It was like, this is it. They're going to go up 2-1. They're going to win the game.
He can still do that trick.
And it missed. And then, like, a minute later, Carolina put in the dagger.
I felt like for years and years, this time of the year, we were always talking about how much more physical the Penguins were, how much bigger they were, how the Caps need to get more physical.
Yeah.
Now we're just copying what the Hurricanes are doing, saying the Caps need to get faster. Like, I think the Hurricanes were just so well balanced of a team.
They were a balanced team.
I mean, they shoot a lot, obviously, but
you
not like.
It
was a breakneck series, and the Caps were scoring goals all over the place, and they were getting shut down.
I think the Caps can still play that physical style if their power play is clicking. If the power play goes away and a huge part of what makes Ovi effective disappears, they're going to struggle to score goals. And you saw that crystallized in this series.
The Rock the Red era, it was this style of play doesn't work in the playoffs. You need to be brooding and physical.
Right.
Now they're physical and brooding. They need to get faster and more electric on offense.
I don't think you guys are describing the team right. I don't think they're described as a brooding, physical team at all. From what I hear from the NHL experts, they're kind of in the middle and can play both styles. Now, Carolina, to the extreme, is much faster.
Everyone's saying the Caps need to get faster. They need to get faster. Well, they did get a lot faster this year, but it's not fast enough, so we got to get even faster.
I think that I kind of agree with that, though. You don't think so?
Well, it's also recency.
Well,
but
we already did that.
It's also recency effect. You just saw what a faster, like super physical, forechecking team in Carolina did to a little bit slower, more physical team in the Caps. So people are automatically going to say, well, that we have to copy that style.
Rock the Red 2.0.
Well, I'm fine with adapting to styles if it helps you go deeper in the playoffs.
Leonard's fast. I know that.
He's fast. I need him to uptick the goal scoring a little
bit. He's only got an empty netter so far.
He had some good opportunities yesterday, too.
He did.
I'm not going to bury Ryan Leonard. That guy should be one of the cornerstones moving forward. Now, he's young. You got to give him a chance to develop. He was thrown into the deep end with like 9 games left in the regular season. He is going to be fine.
All right. Joe Beninati is with us. Of course, the voice of the Washington.
Looking for a job is lonely. endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Nerds! Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Capitals on Monumental Sports. Net, you know, when I texted Joe to ask him, he said, hopefully we are preparing and talking about a game six. And I just said, Joe, I felt like watching last night's game, I didn't feel like the pressure and the tenseness of, oh, it's going to go badly, like it happens all the time in seventh games at home over the years. I felt like they were playing their best game of the series and that they just needed one to go in and they'd win it. How did you feel about the overall game last night?
Yeah, I think my thoughts are close to the same, Kevin. I said this, that in the first four games of the series, I thought the right team won. And in game five, I wasn't sure that the right team won the game. Washington deserved better than that. But that just sounds like, again, it sounds like you're whistling past the graveyard. They didn't score goals. And this just wasn't a second-round problem. This was evident at times in the Montreal series. It was evident in the last 4 to 6 weeks of the regular season. The offensive boil that they were on in the first 3-4 months of the season was amazing, and a lot of us questioned whether or not it was sustainable. Their shooting percentage, which you don't often refer to quite a bit in hockey, their shooting percentage was off the charts, led the NHL for the longest time, and you could routinely count on them for 4 or 5 goals. That wasn't the case in the last 2 months of the season, this month of the playoffs included. And for whatever reason, and you could start with Frederik Andersen, you could start with Carolina's defense, they weren't able to score many goals in this series, nowhere near enough to threaten a team like Carolina.
Yeah, I mean, that's... No, 7 goals, 1.4 goals per game is not enough, even I know that.
Nope.
In a best of seven. Why weren't they able to score more? Was it more about Andersen or more about what Alan May said to me yesterday or the day before, which is they're not doing what Carolina is doing. They're not attempting enough shots, even though they did last night.
This is an age-old question now, you know, and we've discussed it. I think you and I have discussed it on the air as well. quality versus quantity. And, you know, Rod Brind'Amour will bristle when you bring this up, because Rod thinks that all of us in the media are saying all Carolina does is get it in the zone and throw everything at the net. Willy-nilly, it doesn't matter, just send it to the net. I don't know that they do that either. But they have control of the puck, or they have possession time, or they have O-zone, the puck in the offensive zone, enough that they're able to generate so many opportunities to shoot on goal that they take them. And analytically, you can break these numbers down any way you'd like, but 9 times out of 10, when you're playing Carolina, they have the puck more than you. The puck is more in your defensive zone than theirs. And likely, and it was the trend throughout the season, Kevin, they generate more offensive shots than you do. And then everybody does the math and says, okay, the more the puck goes to the net, the better opportunity there is to score a number of goals. Some teams believe in quality shots more so than quantity, so they wait for better opportunities to get more of these so-called high-danger chances. The Caps didn't generate a lot of high-danger chances in the series against Anderson and the Canes, but I believe he stopped every single one of them. And that's incredible. He's very good. Frederick's very good. He has a reputation of being very good until injuries beset him. He's been injured again this year. It was a knee. The year prior, it was a blood clotting issue. But he's talented, and he's big, and he's got a very good defensive concept in front of him. When he was called upon to make key saves in this series, he did it every single time. And I keep going back to the two games in Raleigh. And game three, to me, Kevin, was the best game the Caps played in the entire playoffs. The first period, I should say, was the best I have seen the Caps in the entire playoffs, Montreal included. And that would be the only other thing close would have been game four against Montreal in Montreal when Wilson throws that massive hit and they scored 4 times in that period. The first period of game three in Raleigh, I thought they had the formula. And in the first 5 minutes, wouldn't you know it, Anderson made at least 3 good saves. Oh, Joe, what do you mean? They could easily have been up 3-0, Washington, that is, and we might be singing a different tune, and we might be looking at a game six. They didn't convert. And more often than not, if you're going to ask me what it was, that why Washington scored, I think it was 7, and one of those was an empty netter, why did the Caps only score that few goals? Carolina's pressure game forced them out of their normal poise. They didn't have the same composure. They didn't have the same poise. They didn't have the same finish. And a lot of that, not all of it, but a lot of it has to do with the way Carolina swarms on defense and pressures on defense. They make you uncomfortable. They never stop.
Yeah, and they really seem to get sticks on pucks consistently more in this series than the Caps did. There's a couple of specific things that I wanted to ask you about from the game last night. The offsides on the Roy goal that gave him a 2-1 lead.
Yeah.
I don't know the answer to this. Is that just bad luck, or is that a mistake not to be clearly on sides when the puck went into the zone?
Well, no, the game is so fast, and
I know
things happen in a blink, and it was clearly offside. The player was completely in across the line before the puck gets... The puck's not in the zone in that instance until it's all the way across the blue line. So they had multiple looks showing a clear offside. A lot of the times, players will realize, ooh, I'm close here. Let me drag that trail skate, and you'll see them almost go into like a dance move to try and slow down and delay and drag a skate to keep onside. It happens so quickly. It's just a matter of timing. And in that case, bad timing, bad luck. And then seconds later, Matt Roy's pumping one past Anderson that, again, could have easily changed the complexion of the game. I thought Washington played extremely well last night. I thought the late goal, the series-clinching goal, was a gut punch. I fully expected Washington to win the third period, and if not, take care of things in overtime. It didn't happen, and it was so swift and so sudden, it was a kick in the gut.
The player that was most noticeable to me all night long for the Caps, I thought he was really good, and I don't have any of the advanced stats numbers, but I'm just curious. Number 6 Chychrun, the defenseman, just was – it was so obvious that he was having a great game. Did anybody play better than he did?
No, not last night, no. I mean, that was a man possessed.
Yeah.
And fans get to know Jacob Chychrun this year, and fans obviously recognize the Capitals made him an extremely well-paid and long-term part of their future. And for good reason, you could see why they made that investment last night, especially in the second period. Kevin, his play in the second period, he was breathtaking. I mean,
yeah.
Cale Makar out in Colorado, Zach Werenski in Columbus, and Jacob Chychrun, to me, were the three best offensive defensemen this season. The things Makar does in Denver are extraordinary. There were a lot of flashes of Makar last night from Chychrun in that second period especially. He commanded the puck. He went end-to-end with it. He showed you his speed, his shooting ability, his power. First of all, he's a phenomenal athlete, like an extraordinary athlete. Doc Walker would call him a specimen. He is a specimen, and he has a great mind for the game, I think. His attitude is terrific. His teammates warmed to him very quickly this year. I'm excited to see where Jacob can go over the next few years. He's a longtime Cap now, thanks to the contract that he earned and signed this season. But that game last night, and especially that middle period, woo, that was impressive.
Logan Thompson, he ultimately, when all was said and done, gave up just two goals and had some unbelievable saves in the game. But I know that hockey people say, yeah, but the two goals that he gave up, especially the last one, those are cheap, soft, bad, whatever adjective you want to use to describe them. I'll let you describe his performance last night and for the series.
Yeah, I know he's angry with himself, and professional players, outstanding talents, they have enormous pride, and Logan's pride was hurt last night. He said so in the post game. He admitted that he wished he were better in the situations where Carolina scored. First of all, you know, those other guys on the other team, they're on scholarship too, Kevin. They're really good. And Jordan Staal has made a longtime career of playing extremely well, extremely strong, and when he gets the opportunities, he can bury. That was a beautiful shot. The first goal, I thought. Logan is, again, I'm not going to get in his head. I'm not going to play goalie for you. I'll let Logan settle it when he speaks and addresses the media further if he were to choose. But to me, it looks like Logan is preparing for a shot to the short side there from the bad angle, and Staal beats him to the far side. It was a very well-placed shot. Logan will tell you, and I'm sure, again, I'm paraphrasing here. I'm putting words into his mouth. He would prefer to have played that one differently and have made that save. The game-winning goal is the one where you sit there and go, okay, what did you see? And when he explained it in the post-game media scrum, he lost sight of it when it went wide. And I was addressing it with Alan May and Bruce Boudreau and Alexa Landestoy on Monumental Sports Network last night. To me, it looked like he was set, he was ready. Something happened, he lost sight, he comes out of his crouch. By the time he gets back, he gets caught in between. And to be perfectly honest, and this is going to be again, oh, here's Joe with the Caps colored glasses again. 9 times out of 10, Kevin, that Svechnikov shot, especially in this series where teams are blocking shots like nuts,
yeah,
those shots don't go through, much less go in cleanly. That one went in cleanly. The Carolina Hurricanes were really good in the series, deserved to move on, deserved to win in 5. But as usual, once again, hockey shows you, you can play well, and if luck is in your favor, you can go a long way. That is just good fortune right there. From that angle, he's just throwing it to the net and hoping. And again, 9 times out of 10, somebody gets in the way of that, it hits off of somebody's butt, and it's a harmless play. That one just happens to go cleanly through. Logan doesn't see it, doesn't respond till it's too late, and it goes past him. And then you're like, wow. You know, a series-clinching goal, a game-winning goal, you want those to be quote-unquote good goals, no-doubt goals. That was one where you're from that angle, you're like, that's going to go in? And Logan is angry with himself.
Well, the overtime goal in game one felt the same way.
A little bit, yeah. Again, screen, where he doesn't pick it up. And again, people will sit there, and I know Alan May insists upon this, okay, you took the shot. Again, a lot of people won't take that Svechnikov shot last night because it's from so bad of an angle. A lot of people won't necessarily take the Slavin shot in game one from the point. Not much developing there in front, but Carolina's game plan is to get it to the net and see what happens.
Yeah.
Well, good things happened on those two.
Yeah, this sport is just, if you get it anywhere near it, things happen. Crazy
whimsy
things happen.
Involved in it, definitely. There's definite whimsy involved in it, no doubt.
Whimsy is a good one, too. Mm-hmm. We're talking to Joe Beninati, of course, the voice, longtime voice of the Cavs. All right, before we talk about what's next, let's just talk about the Ovechkin era, because this conversation comes up every year. I mean, it's almost like, unfortunately, I hate to say this, but it's almost become a rite of spring where the Caps season ends prematurely based on what most people thought they had the potential to do. It's, 15 out of the 16 playoff seasons other than 2018. I know some of those second round appearances were against better teams. Fair enough. But can you enjoy the journey? Can you look at the season? You're a part of the journey. Look at the season and say, no, man, in this sport, you win that many games. But by the way, throw in the whole sideshow, which was an historic one of chasing down Gretzky's record. But, when you look back on it, is it a disappointing season? Is it a successful season? How would Joe Beninati, who was a part of the broadcast journey through 82 and 10 afterwards, 92 total games, how would you describe it?
Kevin, I think to answer your question, you need to go back and look at it from an 8-9 month rollback. So take it all the way back. And when Chris Patrick and Brian McClellan add the players that they add in the offseason, at that time, heading into October, the start of the season, the 50th anniversary season for the Capitals, at that time, most people who were in the know, most people who would be qualified to offer an opinion as to whether or not the Capitals were even a playoff team, would have said to you, peripheral, maybe 7-8 seed, likely not to get into the postseason. So if that is the launch point, then I would have to say this was an incredible season. They did what they did. They ran away with the East. They ran away with the Metro Division. They were in large part in the conversation with Winnipeg for a President's Trophy throughout the campaign when most people didn't think they were even a playoff team. They had 50-plus wins again. I want to say Ovechkin's been a part of that six times. This was overall unexpected. Then, Bo, when you get to February and March and April, and this is the gist of your question, now you are the team you are, and you look like a legitimate Stanley Cup contender. And I'll be perfectly honest, at the beginning of the playoffs, Kevin, my assumption was that they would get to round three. I thought they would get through the first two rounds. I thought they would run into trouble likely with Florida. And it didn't happen that way. They fell short of that. But more importantly, Spencer Carberry to his team will tell you that they dream really big. They're not dreaming of a second round appearance. They're dreaming about going all the way. And this team looked like it had. When you looked at this team in January, February, you'd sit there and go, whoa, I know they're only, halfway through the season, 60% through the season, but man, they're good. And they look like they can hang with anybody.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, for whatever the reason was, I keep pointing back to the offense fizzled. The offense went away. Where did it go? That's ultimately, was it fool's goal? Was the first 3-4 months of the season and the high shooting percentage and all the 4, 5, and 6 goal games, was that fool's goal? I don't think so. I thought they played very, very well, and they put pressure on other teams' defenses, made life miserable for goalies, and they were racking up goals like crazy. They didn't have that in the last 2 months. I wonder where it went. Or did just teams make adjustments? Did goalies get better? Did luck run out? You tell me. But I have to consider, when you go back to the start of the season and what was the quote-unquote supposed projection for this team, nobody projected them to win the East. They did that. They won 50-plus games. I think they're thinking that, okay, future's even brighter. And you mentioned the Ovechkin saga, the quest, the chase. That took a lot out of the club, no doubt. And it was a brilliant individual achievement for one that we'll never, ever forget. They were able to have enough time, I believe. Maybe this is not the case, and maybe we'll learn more on the exit interviews and whatever it is that they do with regard to the press conferences postseason. I thought they had enough time between 895 and the playoffs to make a mental reset to get themselves back in gear for the team goals. I don't know if they were able to achieve that. They didn't do that in terms of getting to a third and fourth round. I thought they could make the third round, Kevin. That was my estimation, yeah. And they fell a little bit short of that. But going back to the beginning of the season, no. And all the way around, and this is going to sound like the company man again, but all the way around this 50th anniversary season, for the organization, for the network, for Monumental Sports Network, I couldn't be more proud of the way the organization showed itself in this 50th anniversary celebration from an alumni relations standpoint, and from on the TV side, how we chronicled this entire season and this great chase. For that, I'm extremely proud.
All right, what's next? Let's start with eight. Will he be back? He's under contract for one more year. What's your guess? He still has a big... number 900 would be a big buildup early in the season next October.
Absolutely. And I, again, without having spoken to Alex, I did not speak to him after the game last night. I have not spoken to him about the subject. Let's put it this way. The only way that I thought potentially Ovechkin would retire after this season would be 895 and a cup. He got 895. He didn't win the cup. I think he comes back next year with 1 year on the deal, and that's the quote-unquote farewell tour for the game's greatest goal scorer of all time. I fully expect him to play next year. Now, that's just a decision for Alex and his family to make, but I think he will come back.
How did you think he played in this series?
He was what I expect from Alex at this point in his career, and against speed teams such as Carolina. We're talking, I think, again, I'm not sure there's a team any faster than Carolina in the East. Jersey, when they're completely healthy, is extremely fast. The tempo of that series is not best suited for a 39-year-old Alex Ovechkin. So he did, and he powered his way through as best as he can. But like so many of the Caps, you get overwhelmed by that speed. It forces you to accelerate your thinking, accelerate your movements, and sometimes that poise and composure leaves you. I know he popped a power play goal. You come to expect that from him. And I know Alex values his play 5-on-5 and wants to deliver more than he did.
What else next year? Who's back? What does this team look like? What does it need to add in the offseason?
Well, let's see. As far as expiring contracts are concerned, I thought Anthony Beauvillier really made a good impression.
Yeah.
And at $1.25 million on an expiring contract, I wouldn't be surprised if the Caps talk to Anthony about being a part of their future. Andrew Mangiapane at $5.8 million on an expiring contract. That's one that's going to be interesting. I wonder where they're going to go there. Taylor Radish, $1 million on an expiring contract. I like that fourth line a lot. They went back to it. A combination that's worked well for them, Duhame and Dowd and Radish. But we'll see there. There are probably, in the case of Mangiapane and in the case of Radish, and in the case of Lars Eller, there are probably candidates that are being considered from the American Hockey League's Hershey Bears to take those roles. There are also some bright prospects on the future, young kids, 18, 19-year-old kids, who are likely to factor into that decision. But, you know, Lars was taken off of the rink last night.
Yeah.
Connor McMichael subbed in as a third-line center. Connor McMichael is not a third-line center. He's a top-six guy when he's at his best. And let's see where they position. The good thing is it sounds like I've got a lot of people to consider for a 51 team and an 111, whatever yeah. It was, point team. There's a lot going on there. That defense is completely signed, Kevin.
Everybody what would you say, though, is their number one need to go out and get, you know, in perhaps free agency?
I would find a scorer for the third line. We kept coming back consistently saying, I wish there was more for Mangiapane and Eller, and whether it be Leonard or Radish. We need more on that third line. There's got to be more of a oomph, because you've got, again, if McMichael and Protas can deliver consistently, if you're going to get high 20s, mid-20s from McMichael, and like you did this year, 30 from Protus, which I think makes him bar none the most improved player in the league. I don't know if I can sit there and tell you, yeah, Protus is going to get me 30 next year. I don't know about that. That was an amazing season for Alexei, but they need to fatten up. They need to thicken the offensive, in my opinion, the offensive goal total from the second and third line. So I'm looking for a quality mid-20s goal scorer that I can position somewhere else in that second and third line. They're out there. There's money to spend. The cap is increasing. And just judging by last season, what Brian McClellan and Chris Patrick did in the offseason, they're going to make the right choices and help this team improve.
I'm going to miss these conversations. I actually like this time of year because I love talking to people like you. Thanks for doing this. I love talking to you. Enjoy the off season, and I'm sure we'll be talking before the next one begins. Appreciate it.
Anytime you like, Kevin. I always enjoy the conversation. Thanks.
Joe Beninati, everybody, on X, on Twitter, at JoeBPXP, play-by-play.
Got to start on the ice last night. Disappointing end of the season for the guys with the Capitals. You know, I think Logan Thompson has been spectacular pretty much all year. These last three games.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Nerds. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
It's been rough, and especially last night. You know, I was listening to Brent Johnson on with the Junks this morning, and, you know, it's tough because there's a couple of goals in there that you probably don't want to give up and you shouldn't give up, but he gives up a couple, and this offense had struggled against Carolina this entire series. And so when your goaltender's not hot, especially down the stretch of this series, and you're not scoring goals, you're in for a world of hurt, especially for a team that was kind of dominating play for a majority of the series like the Carolina Hurricanes were. But I think, you know, this is one of those times for me when you look at a team. It reminded me kind of how the Commanders were when they were going in, where, you know, they felt like they were kind of punching above their class all year. And so when you lose in the playoffs, yeah, it's disappointing. But when you take time in like a couple of weeks and reflect, it was still a special season.
So if I'm allowed to do this, and I know it's still fresh and raw, it's almost like we just took the Band-Aid off because the season ended last night. Big picture, like, They're the one seed in the Eastern Conference, Toby.
Yeah.
And they got bounced in the second round.
Yeah, I mean,
it's a disappointment.
Sure. It is. It definitely is.
And the way that they went out, I think is, first of all, stylistically, this was not the most favorable matchup for them. I think it was very evident from the start of this series. Carolina just a faster, more athletic team, and it showed throughout this series. So I wonder how they regroup moving forward. I think you mentioned it. Logan Thompson was not great the last couple of games of this series, but I think moving forward, like in terms of the offseason, like there should be a lot of optimism for this team. They were really active this past offseason. I think, you know, the salary cap's going to go up again in the NHL, so they should have the opportunity once again to go out and make some moves to improve the roster. We know Alex Ovechkin's coming back. I think that conversation needs to be had about what is Alex Ovechkin's role going to be? Because in this series, and I know this is kind of what he's been known for, and he's older, but remember all the hubbub that was made when he was called a one-trick pony?
Yeah.
What was he in this series? Standing, waiting. One-trick pony.
Well, and he struggled so much because this is just a faster team. This is someone that's going to get up and down, and they're going to make you defend, and they're going to try to basically be in your D zone the entire time. And that's what the Capitals were, and that's not Ovi's specialty, and especially at this point in his career when, you know, he's an older guy and you don't want him on the ice trying to defend the entire time. He's never been the best defender, but especially at this point in his career, and I think he's a better defender than throughout his career than what he is right now just because of the fact that he can't be giving his all on every single shift, especially in the D zone. So it was just a tough matchup for him. Yeah. I think this Capital season is going to be a memorable one. Obviously, we're going to remember a lot of the moments from this because Alex Ovechkin breaks the record after breaking his leg, remember? I mean, that's something that
special.
We thought might not even happen this year because of the fact that he broke his leg. He was off to such a torrid pace to open the year. Then he broke his leg, and then he comes back, and he's still on a great pace and ends up breaking the record. So that was special. And seeing this team, again, I don't know that right now is the best time for it because you're right. They were the top seed in the Eastern Conference. The way that they went out against Carolina, where Carolina really dominated the series, you know, they went in five games. I mean, that's domination. That's a gentleman's sweep.
It is, especially when you think about the last three games, really the whole series, Toby. Like, what was the story of this thing? Their inability to get the puck in Carolina's defensive zone. Like, that was the problem, getting in the corners, getting good offense, puck possession, shot attempts. Like, that was the story of this entire series. And moving forward, like, if you get matched up, I think after this series, you need to get younger.
They need to get faster. Yeah, they need speed.
Like, there's a couple of things that kind of, like, stick out like a sore thumb for you. But all in all, like you said, good season. I think maybe I'm being negative Nancy here, kind of disappointing that you get bounced in five in the second round after being the one seed.
I think it can be two things. And the reason it reminds me of the Commanders is we were having this discussion when it was going to the wild card game against the Buccaneers, right? Yeah. We were having this discussion basically saying, if they lost to the Buccaneers, is it a disappointing season? And overall, no. But you won 12 games. Yeah. You have to win a playoff game then. This team, you were the one seed in the Eastern Conference. You won your first series and looked good against the Canadiens. And then you got pretty thoroughly dominated against the Hurricanes. And it wasn't a great series in terms of matchup, in terms of styles. But it's frankly disappointing when you're the top seed. But in a couple of weeks, when we kind of reflect, it's going to be something that we look back on as a favorable, a fun season. Coach Carberry kind of talked about that last night. 50th anniversary season and all the stuff that went into it. And then O breaking the record, all that stuff. I thought Coach Carbs had a really good way of summing it up last night.
This 50th anniversary Caps team will go down in history, and I'll just speak for myself, is this is one of the greatest seasons that I've ever been a part of as a coach or a player, and I'll never forget this group. But I told those guys I love them, and every single one of them, what we went through as a group this year and what they accomplished and O's record and everything that went into this season, I will never forget this group. Really, really memorable year.
And I think it is, right? And you saw some of the guys that we weren't expecting take massive leaps. Like, we obviously are going to spend a lot of time thinking about Ovechkin, but you got to remember the season that Alexi Protas had.
Yeah.
You got to remember the season that Dylan Strome had. You got to remember them trading for Pierre-Luc Dubois and people saying, what the heck are they doing? And him having 66 points on the year. Tom Wilson, first ever 30-goal season. Connor McMichael took a big step forward. Jacob Chychrun went from a newly acquired defenseman to someone they locked up long-term and looks like a staple of the future Capitals post-Ovi era. Like, the guys that they had this year that you had some expectations for or no expectations for, frankly, for some of the guys, took big steps. And then it was encouraging seeing some of the guys down the stretch, like a Ryan Leonard. And I know he didn't have the most impact in the stat sheet,
right?
But if you just watched him play, you saw the encouragement there from the young guy. And they've got some young prospects coming through the system as well that are going to be really good players. I think what this team has done a really good job of is setting themselves up to still win, because they were the top seed in the Eastern Conference, like we already laid out. And whenever Ovi is done, if it's after next season, if he continues to play a little bit longer, whatever the decision is for Ovi, he can play as long as he wants. I think that they're going to, they've set themselves up to be good for a long time. So credit to this front office. It was a fun season. Disappointing end, though.
Yeah, I think the growth in development of some of the young pups, as you mentioned, was a big bright spot in this season as well. The other part was this. They liked each other a lot. It's a good group that's got chemistry. I think Coach Carbs, deserves a ton of credit, too, for, getting this group to play at the level that they did and helping cultivate, that relationship that was able to be formed in that locker room. You heard it each and every game. It was one of the main talking points during the regular season. It's just how much these guys like each other. And it's hard because, especially when you underachieve and you really like the guys around you, it makes it sting a little bit more because you really feel like you let your guys down. But they'll be back. They'll be back. They'll have money to spend this offseason. They were active last offseason. You got some building blocks here moving forward. As you mentioned, getting Chychrun, signed long-term. You got Logan Thompson signed to an extension. Protas. A lot to feel good about. I think the main thing, though, is adding speed this offseason. How can you do that? How can you, keep pace atop the Eastern Conference? Can you replicate, this year's success next year? Because let's be real. I think based off the offseason they had, they were way more active than they had been in years past. There was an expectation that they'd be better this year. I don't think anybody thought they'd get the one
exactly
seed.
Right.
So they definitely outkicked their coverage looking at it big picture, but you kind of are what you are, right? We were all geeked up and excited about it. You were competing with Winnipeg all year long to try to have the best record in all of hockey. So this is a good team, and they're going to have a lot of these guys coming back next year. Who do they got to re-sign? That's the one thing I was not.
Yeah, I'd have to look at their contract. One guy that has been locked up long-term is Logan Thompson. I want to hear from him in just a second. I knew there was a reason, though, why I really like Logan Thompson. So this year he was 31-6-6 as a goalie, 249 goals against average. Guess how many saves he had on the season?
How many?
106.7. 1,067.
Wow. There we go. He's our guy.
Credit to LT. LT spoke last night after the game, though. I mean, disappointing result for him, especially last couple of games. He was a little disappointed in himself, said he could have made some more saves.
Credit to Freddie Anderson. I thought he was a better goalie this series. I think I could have been better and made a couple saves on Raleigh and definitely tonight. And yeah, it sucks. It's a good team. So tip your hat to them.
I felt so bad for him because he'd had a really good season. And he kind of took a step down after the Four Nations, but you saw after that goal went in with just over a minute to go, his head sank. And
maybe one of the first times we've seen him actually show visible signs of being discouraged.
And it's unfair to blame it all on one person, but you could tell that he felt it was all on him.
Yeah.
And look, that's a goal that can't go in, frankly. It can't.
No.
That's one that you've got to save. But it's unfair to blame it all on him, and it felt like he took it all on his shoulders. But LT, if you're listening, we appreciate you, man.
100%. This is the thing, right? And it's hard when you do not play your best in the biggest moments. He was a rock star all year long.
Absolutely.
Like one of the best four or five goalies in all of the NHL this year. And this series was rough for him. The ironic part in the Montreal series, think about it, comes back, he was banged up, ended up being awesome. So it's tough. He is one of the, we talk about bright spots moving forward, he is definitely one of them for sure.
Well, and he was the X factor in the series for me because you knew that Carolina, the way that they were going to play, they were going to throw a lot of shots on the net. They were going to do the thing that they do, where they're going to just shoot the puck a lot and see what happens.
Yeah.
And the factor that kind of evened things out for me was if Washington had the hotter goaltender. And look, I think Freddie Anderson was good in this series. There's no doubt about it.
Very volatile, though.
They also,
traditionally.
Yeah, they also didn't test him enough.
Versus not enough shot attempts.
Logan Thompson was thoroughly tested the entire series. Yeah. Even shots that weren't getting to the net. You know, he's just constantly on guard because they were always in the zone. So it was just a tough series. And to your point earlier about getting some more speed, I think this Capitals team matched up well with just about everybody.
But
except Carolina.
Totally.
And so I think what they need to do is they need to add some speed. They need to add some stuff specifically to stop Carolina. Even if they trotted out just about the same roster that they had this year, which they will for the most part, they can make a couple additions. I think those couple additions have to be thought towards how do we beat Carolina? Because if you get the same sort of play from a majority of your guys, you're going to be in a similar type spot, but you have to be able to beat Carolina where you just look thoroughly dominated, even though you were one of the best teams in hockey all year.
So one of the free agents is Anthony Bevilia, who they acquired near the deadline. So he is actually a free agent heading into this offseason. He was pretty good for them down the stretch.
Bobby was awesome, man.
So that's a guy you got to worry about locking up long term. But yeah, to your point, it's, and I hate that we always bring everything back to football, but damn it, it's king. It's like Washington trying to, this offseason was about how can you, one, maximize Jaden Daniels, but how can you beat Philly? I think if you're the Caps, you're looking at Carolina as like the blueprint. Yeah, they weren't the best team during the regular season, but they closed out the season really strong, and they've got the blueprint to as to how you want to play in today's day and age in hockey. They've got speed, they've got size, they're physical. That's the other thing that kind of disappointed me a little bit about this series. Think about all of the hubbub leading up to this thing about the regular season matchups between these two teams and what happened to Connor McMichael. There was all this talk about how physical this series was going to be. If you're looking at it from a physicality standpoint, one, Washington should be embarrassed. They got punked, it felt like, essentially, in this series. Carolina was the big bad wolf, so to speak. They consistently blew our house down. That sounded weird. It felt weird to say. I'll be real. But, yeah, like, that was the one thing I was kind of disappointed in. I wanted to see them, you know, show
you
some more toughness,
more
some more grit.
And it just, it never manifested that way. It was disappointing from that sense because if you just watched this series and didn't know any history, you wouldn't know that these two teams hate, all caps, hate each other, and yet they do.
You'd think Carolina was the number one seed if you took the the seeds off of the way they played. So
800-636-1067, you want to hop in again, 800-636-1067. The Capitals season ends in disappointing fashion as they fall to the Carolina Hurricanes 4-1. You want to hop in? We'll get to some of your phone calls here in just a couple of minutes. But I want to hear from Ovi real quick. Ovi said, you know, he didn't feel like the team played that bad. And really, they probably didn't play as bad as it looked. The styles kind of make it look like they were thoroughly outplayed. But, you know, when you lose in five games, it's tough to say you played well. Here's Ovi after the game, though.
I don't feel like we played bad hockey in Carolina. You know, first period, first 10 minutes, we have so many chances to get a lead and turn this game in our way, but, you know, we didn't. And obviously, it's a tough, but, you know, that experience that we have this year will have for the future, 100%.
Yeah, and I think that experience is going to be big. I think last year's experience, you know, frankly, I think when you watch last season into this season, I think part of the reason that this team was so fueled, especially early on, and especially that guy right there, the grade eight early on, because remember, last season, early on in the season, you're like, this doesn't look like Ovi. Like, is he going to get to that record? And then second half of the year, he kind of got into shape and was rolling. This year, that wasn't the case when he rolled in. And I think a big motivator for this ball club or this hockey club going into the year was what happened against the New York Rangers in the playoffs last year. I think for these guys now, having tasted it and been, hey, we're the best team in the Eastern Conference, and then you get, like you said, punked by Carolina, I think it's going to be motivating for these guys to go into an offseason where you're like, we can beat the Montreals, we can beat some, but we want to win a Stanley Cup again. We have to beat these top dogs. I think this series and losing in five games is going to motivate everybody to come back next year even better.
For sure, and I know the pressure was really in the opening series, right? Think about it. You had won a postseason series since the Stanley Cup Finals.
Yeah.
So I thought it was big that they were able to get past Montreal. Overall in this series, I am disappointed in how they went out. It just felt like it was a thorough ass-kicking throughout this entire series. I know, what was it, game four or game three, where it kind of felt like if they would have had some better puck luck, then maybe you could have been up 2-3 nothing in that opening period.
It's even hard to say that the luck didn't go their way because Carolina was hitting posts the entire series.
Yeah, very true.
So like, I don't know that either team got exceptionally lucky. I think that Carolina just played that much better to win in five.
If you would have told me, though, going into this, that Freddie Anderson would have outplayed Logan Thompson, I would have said you were nuts.
Correct.
And that to me was probably the other big difference in this thing, too.
Yeah, that was, to me, the key to the series. When Logan Thompson started playing a little more poorly, suddenly, because remember, game one, they were thoroughly outplayed, and that was a dominant game, and they won by one in overtime, right? Like, and that's because Logan Thompson played so well. The final three games of the series, LT wasn't the same guy anymore, and it showed. And unfortunately, you lose in five games.
Earlier in the show, we were talking about the Caps bowing out in the second round of the playoffs. And whether you call the season successful or not, 60% of our voters online say yes. Let's talk to our next guest about it. Brent Johnson played goalie here in Washington. Now you can watch him on the Monumental Sports Network talking about the Caps. What's up, Brent?
Hey, what's up, gentlemen? How you doing?
We're doing well, Brent. Before we talk about the most current iteration of the Caps, so I'm looking at your bio, and I didn't realize that of all the seasons that you played with the Caps, you never had one playoff appearance with them. You had 15 in your NHL career, most with the St. Louis Blues back in 01, 02. But, you know, everybody talks about how consistent the Caps are as far as making the playoffs, model organization. They're always in the postseason. Like, that wasn't your experience. Do people, like, mistake you for having playoff appearances with the Caps, like when they see you out and about?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I was typically in the backup role here, and you got to remember the first couple seasons with the Capitals, 05, 06, 07, 08, we were just a struggling team, you know, with a bunch of new, fresh faces. We had a bunch of talent on our team, but we could never really put it together under Glenn Hanlon. And then, you know, once Bruce Boudreau comes in, you know the what happened after that. It was sort of a shining moment for the team where they kind of made a huge turnaround from that point on. And that's not anything going against Glenn Hanlon as a coach. It was just, you know, someone riding that wave and the guys following along.
So were you surprised at the way the Caps were eliminated in five games by the Carolina Hurricanes? Some people think it's obviously an improvement from last year where they qualified but were swept by the Rangers. This year they get into the playoffs, obviously with the top seed in the East, take care of Montreal in the first round. But they just seemed outclassed and also just like poor matchup style with this Carolina Hurricanes team that takes care of them in five games.
I mean, I definitely think it was a missed opportunity. I think the Capitals, you know, in their forward size, you know, have just an embarrassment of riches. Talk about like PLD, Wilson, Protas, these guys who can kind of dominate down low, but never really got to their game, their forechecking game. A lot of credit to the Carolina Hurricanes for how they pressure and how they play that that defensive role where it's just absolutely tight and restricting out there. There's no room to move. You know, as soon as you get the puck, you can guarantee you're going to have either a stick on stick interaction or someone putting a body on you. So it's tough. I would say, you know, even the first series, and I think Spencer Carberry kind of touched on this a little bit last night, you know, even the first series with Montreal, there were a couple games that were close. I mean, that could have gone either way. And, you know, going against the Carolina Hurricanes, even though they're very predictable in how they're going to play, it's just a struggle. And if you don't execute on your chances in the playoffs, it's nothing, absolutely nothing like the regular season. It's you have to make good on those opportunities. And the Caps didn't, and the Hurricanes did. And that's the series in a nutshell.
Brent, break it down for hockey dummies, myself included. What makes the Carolina penalty kill so special? They were tops in the league during the regular season at stopping the power play. And they did a great job, and not only this series, also against the Devils in the first round. What is it about their penalty kill that made it so tough for the Caps to set up their power play, to have any sort of sustained pressure on Frederik Andersen throughout this series?
Yeah. Well, just take it right from the start of each power play. It becomes the breakout, right? The breakout, even if you have a good breakout in your own end going into the neutral zone, you have to have good zone entrances. And so they really didn't have or execute their plan perfectly each time. And you have a four-man front on that defensive blue line of the Carolina Hurricanes, and it's just tough to get pucks chipped into space and retrieve and then go on your kind of setup, however the Caps wanted to set up that particular power play. But from there, you get in zone, and it's just pressure the puck, right? It's one of those power plays. You can remember the Pittsburgh Penguins doing this to the Washington Capitals all the time, is that if you have your back in a bad position, or if you have the puck in a bad position where your back is to the middle of the ice, they are running at you as hard as they can, good stick, and pressuring you to do something stupid with the puck. And that's exactly like every scenario where the Caps got themselves in a bad position, that's what happened. Now, when the Caps did start working it around, they had some opportunities here and there. It wasn't all, you know, terrible. They had some opportunities, but that the way they check out there as a four-man unit, they kind of stay in that little diamond or box, however they're shaping it. And if it's John Carlson or if it's Jacob Chychrun, you know, you get that point up top and your quarterback in that power play, your first objective, your first goal is to bypass that high checker. And, you know, we talked about it like till we were blue in the face. Pucks at the net, be a shooter's power play, and they never really got that. There's a lot of blocked shots by the Carolina Hurricanes, and the Capitals just really didn't have they didn't have anything, you know, more that they could do. They didn't have an answer for it.
All right, talking to Brent Johnson, former goalie with the Capitals. Now you can watch him on Monumental Sports. Let's go big picture, okay? Let's forget about the Kane series specifically. This is something we were kicking around with our callers and kicking around amongst ourselves. Was this season a success? Before the season, there weren't great expectations, but then they earn a one seed and they get bounced out in the second round. How do you see this season?
As a tremendous success. It's hard. Like I see it as a success, but we already talked about it being a missed opportunity. So it's
a mixed bag.
I guess I'm contradicting myself. But as it goes, so many things happened this season that were just absolutely fantastic for the Washington Capitals. So let's just talk about their bright future, tying up guys, Chychrun, their goaltenders, guys coming in, whether that be Bovey at the deadline and just kind of fitting in, the coach being up for coach of the year, Spencer Carberry, the coaching staff, just in general, how they were able to manage all these different guys and get them on the same page. Alex Ovechkin and his unreal year, this 50th anniversary. And we heard Spencer say it last night, like he had the most fun that he can remember in some time coaching the team. And I could see why, because I mean, look at all the things that happened throughout the season. This team was supposed to be a draft lottery team, you know, eking into the playoffs maybe. And they well outperformed expectations and become top of the East and running for that, running for the President's Trophy at some point. And so, I mean, yeah, it's not the end goal, but I would say like your listeners, I would say 60%. Yeah, that makes sense to me that they would say it was a successful season. I think the guys in that dressing room absolutely adore one another. They work together as a team, and it's more of a family atmosphere in there. So successful, yes. Not the end goal, but successful.
Brent, what did you make of the first goal that Logan Thompson gave up last night? I know that I think it was Bouchard who was pretty critical of that first goal that Stahl scored.
Boucher.
Thank you. Yeah. The second one, he was screened by TVR. I understand that one a little bit more. But did you think that first goal was a little bit soft for LT to give up?
So LT, right? Think about it. I think 2.45 goals against average in the playoffs, mm-hmm. and a 917 or 918 save percentage. Those are pretty good numbers, right?
Yeah.
Let's just say it. 2.45 in the playoffs is pretty good numbers. Now, playoff hockey is totally different. There's low scoring games in the East. There's high scoring games in the West, and it's all over the map, really. I think Logan Thompson did the job he needed to do to help his team win. Now, going to the goals, all right? Logan Thompson's a different goaltender, right? He is a goaltender that kind of loves safe spaces, all right? And as goalies, our safe spaces are our posts, all right? So he's often on his posts when pucks are on the perimeter of his zone, right? So he's on that post. He's comfortable. And he can make, you know, percentage plays there, a high percentage of saves there. So the first goal, there's something called an overlap. And I'd have to explain this to you or demo it for you, but it's coming off your post and squaring up. Now, you can do that in a scenario where Jordan Stahl scored. You can do that in a scenario where there's only Jordan Stahl is the threat. And there was no threat to the middle of the ice. There was no threat to a backdoor play or anything like that. The only guy that could score that goal or that could anything that could happen is going far side, bar down. Now, he had to make a perfect shot to beat LT. But on the other hand, if he doesn't overlap, which means he comes out and he squares his body to the puck, that's an easy save. It just hits him in the shoulder, and it's a nothing burger. Instead, he goes on his post. His right shoulder goes back and kind of flattens out along the goal line. And so that opens up and leaves that far side vulnerable. And then Jordan Stahl takes advantage of it. It's the same exact play, different shot that Svechnikov scored that second goal with 2 minutes left in the game. He's on his post, safe spot, safe space, right? He's playing percentages. But even though he's screened by TVR there, it's one where he can play more of a filling the net up area. Even though he can't see it, he's not square to the puck. This happens so fast. This is what goalies would call predictive processing, right? Or actually, it happens in everyday life. Predictive processing, where our mind kind of fills in the missing information. I'm on my safe spot. I can't see the puck. Predictably, I'm just going to go into this pose, all right, and hope for the best. And, you know, when we fill in that missing information, we just hope that we can, you know, make the save there. But he gets beat. It's a pass, a give-and-go kind of pass from, I think it was Martinuk and Svechnikov, I can't remember. And then just back to Svechnikov, and all he does is just release the puck, just tries to get it on net, maybe hope for a bounce, maybe. And then you have Thompson. It's not a great goal. Even though he's screened, it's not a great goal because he can front the puck a little bit more. That is not the reason, though, the Capitals lost the game. The Capitals lost the game and maybe the series is because I think they didn't do what the Carolina Hurricanes were doing, which was funneling everything to the net. That Svechnikov goal is a prime example of them just, hey, you know what? I don't have anything out here. I'm on the perimeter of the offensive zone. Might as well just throw it. There's a bunch of bodies there. Might as well just throw it on net. Something might happen.
Yep. Get a weird bounce, deflection, anything like that. Like the Bevilia goal last night was not, it was not a thing of beauty, but like it was a puck that was on the side of the net. It kind of got out in front of Anderson, and he just poked it through his legs when he had an opportunity.
Exactly. Well, I mean, Bevilia is a prime example of a playoff player. Even though he doesn't go elbows, he's not very tall. He works hard. He pressured Jacob Slavin into kind of turning that puck over with a bad pass to his partner. Takes a weird bounce off that, and he never stops moving his legs, right? He actually beats Slavin off the check, beats him to the net, and pots a good goal. So I'm truthfully happy with Beauvillier and the way he played throughout this playoffs.
Brent, good stuff. It's Brent Johnson, former goalie. Of course, you watch him on Monumental Sports Network. Thanks, pal.
Yeah, thanks for the intel, man.
Yeah, my pleasure, guys. You guys have a good one.
All right, thank you, buddy.
Good explanation by him that people don't know anything about NHL goaltending, about, you know, like Thompson hugging the post there, because that's like what he's used to doing, instead of him coming out a little bit and making himself bigger and making it tougher to shoot on the net. Like, that's a good nugget he gave us there.
Still thought when that guy got it from that angle that he had no shot at a goal.
Yeah, but
I don't know how he scored.
These guys
thing.
Are so
he
talented.
Found the back of the net. You know,
they can find those little creases to put the puck in.
And again, I just want to be first on the record. I think giving that guy 6 years, it was nutty. Because any goalie giving him 6 years is nutty. Because we have no idea how he's going to perform next year. I think he did great this year.
It's a calculated risk by the front office. They feel like he's worth the money, and they negotiated that deal.
They gave Chucky money, too.
I know.
Not as much.
Not as much.
3 years, $9 million for Chucky. 6 years, $35 million for Thompson.
I mean, I literally think it's crazy. Because goalies are mercurial. You don't know what you're going to get year to year.
Credit to Freddie Anderson. I thought he was the better goalie of the series. I think I could have been better. And, you know, made a couple saves, you know, in Raleigh and definitely tonight. And, yeah, it sucks. It's a good team. So tip your hat to them.
Logan Thompson, I loved everything he had to say last night. He stepped up to the plate, figuratively, I suppose, but he stepped up to the microphone and essentially said, I got to be better. I'm a grown-up. I have to deal with the fact that I allowed two goals I shouldn't have allowed. There are a lot of other reasons why you lose the game, though. You didn't score. You got to score to win, people. You got to shoot the puck to score. You got to get pucks on goaltenders so that they make the mistakes that Logan Thompson made last evening. There's blame to go around, obviously.
Nobody's hands are clean.
If he's normal Logan Thompson, that's probably a shutout, and you probably win the game 1-0 last night. But when you only score a goal, it's hard to blame the goaltender all that much. But we're not really necessarily just looking at the one game. If you want to dive into the series, we could do that. 800-636-1067. Danny, the question is, was this season a success? I mean, for me, the answer is a rousing yes. Nobody, and I mean nobody, thought the Capitals were going to be one of the better teams in the conference. They didn't even really have a chance to win the Metro. You go back to the beginning of the year, look at the Athletic or whichever your publication is that you like their hockey coverage, ESPN. They were bottom five, bottom seven in a lot of power rankings coming into the year. The fact that they made the playoffs was shocking, let alone being the number one team in the Metro, being the number one team in the East, and for most of the year until the Ovi chase became the priority late, being the number one team in the National Hockey League. So it is hard for me to say anything other than that this was a huge success, but now you've got to build on it. Mm-hmm. You can't get back into you make the playoffs 1 year, you don't the next mode. You got to the playoffs last year and lost in the first round. You added this year to the second round. Let's keep the trajectory going with Carberry. Next year you got to get to a conference final or further. But I love the fact that a year ago it seemed like they might need to do some significant refurbishing and rebuilding. And it no longer really feels that way because, unlike last year at this time, Danny, Connor McMichael's a stud. Alexi Protas is a star. You were able to bring in pieces like Dubois and like Beauvillier at the trade deadline and like Roy defensively and like Chychrun, who you've since extended, and like Logan Thompson, who are long-term building blocks. So they're very close again, and now you got some money to try to put the finishing touches on this thing.
So this is all a matter of perspective in terms of success or not. To me, it's a success because Ovi set the goal record. That happened, and that was so delightful. That was incredible. The year that a 39-year-old, the greatest goal scorer ever to live, no debate anymore, thank you, please, broke his leg, he still set the goals record. That makes this year a success. Besides that, though, over a 21-year period, the Capitals made the playoffs 18 times, got to one Stanley Cup final. Those other years, one conference final too, where they lost. The other 16 years, they lost in the first or second round. That was from 1982 to 2003. That was pre-Rock the Red. this era has been almost identical to that. 7 second-round exits, 9 first-round exits to go over the course of their, 8 first-round exits, and then 1 Stanley Cup finals appearance. The difference is they won that Stanley Cup. They got that one breakthrough. That happened. That took all the poison away from me, took all my venom away, took all my angst, my woe was me, my it's DC's turn, any kind of tantrum or whatever that I might throw. So relative to their history, this is it. This is what they do. And we'll talk about all the processes, which are good. They'll talk about all the players, which are good, and everything they've done is right. If there was some secret formula, I'd hand it to them, and maybe this would be different. But given their history, to me, the variable this year was Ovechkin setting that record. So, yeah, to me, it's a success, but it's also kind of given the 50 years of this franchise, the 20-year periods that we dealt in pre-Rock the Red and during this Rock the Red era, this is it. So, yeah, I would say it's a success.
So I'm confused, though, with the first part. You're saying when you grade this season, you were talking a lot about history. So for you, this season is not its own entity. You're talking about the 50-year sample? Or
no, I'm comparing it to – there have been two distinct 20-year periods. One's 21 years. That's the time that a lot of Caps fans don't even know happened, by the way, from when I was a kid. And then this Rock the Red era. So in 20 years of Ovechkin – they've gone to the playoffs 16 out of the 20 years, lost in the first round, 15 of those 20. First or second round, rather, 15 of those 20, made it to one cup final. That's their breakthrough. That happened.
Right.
So holding them to that standard, given their history, I think is probably folly. I'll have fun next year. I'll watch them play, and we'll go through it. And I just don't have the anger that, oh, this sucks. It's a failure. I got a humongous sample. I got 41 years of hockey data that says once every 20 years, they break through, get to the finals, do something that they don't normally do. The rest of the time, this is kind of what it is.
So I guess we get to the same result very, very differently. I view the season as its own entity, right? It's a different group almost entirely.
Totally.
And it's the coaching staff has been here now for 2 seasons. But for me, when you're asking me, was this season a success, how could I possibly answer that without looking solely at what were the expectations and what did we think this team was and then what did they do? That's really all that matters for this season. It's not about last year or 5 years ago or 10 years ago or 15 years ago. When the season began, what I, someone fairly plugged in that follows them in the offseason and has a pretty good idea of their roster, what I was hoping for was I want Ovi to break the record, which I didn't think was going to happen this year, but I thought he had a good chance to. And I hope they make the playoffs. That they're not doing that as this middling team that ends up missing the playoffs. Because even though they got into the playoffs last year, barely, they got outscored by almost 40 goals in differential on the way.
Mm-hmm.
For them to have not only surpassed that, but not narrowly, I mean, they were arguably the best team in the NHL in the regular season. It's a massive success. The only way you could say it isn't, in my opinion, the only way, and we'll get to the phones on this, and I'll be curious to hear what people think, 800-636-1067, is if you recalibrate after the end of the regular season and now you go, you're a one seed, you're the best team in the East, you better get to the conference final or else, ... And that, for me, doesn't work because I just don't view the hockey playoffs that way. And that frustrates a lot of people that don't see it the same way I do, and that's okay. You're allowed to be frustrated. But I don't view it as football or basketball or baseball where, like, the better team is favored and should win. They were the underdog in this series. You want to play that game, I'll tell you they were the underdog against the Hurricanes. You know, they weren't supposed to win this series. But the only way you could say it's a failure or not a success or something is it was a quote-unquote early exit because they were the best team in the East. And if that's how you want to evaluate it, that's fine. You move the goalpost at the end of the regular season, you're allowed to do that. I don't have such a thing as when you're punching above your weight class all year and you're in the first year of whatever this new look operation is, like the expectations of cup or bust. And I mean, look at the Vegas Golden Knights who got eliminated a day or two before the Capitals. This happens in hockey all the time.
Mm-hmm.
It's just part of it, man. You have less control over the result as a team than in any other sport. Doesn't mean you have no control. I'm not suggesting that. Doesn't mean they played a good series against Carolina. I'm not suggesting that. But you could outplay a team in every single game and lose every single game. And we've seen it dozens of times over the years. Let's go with Andrew and Stafford on Grant and Danny. What's up, Andrew?
Hey, Grant. I'm with you on this one. It was, you know, Obi, the record was fantastic, and this team was awesome to watch. I don't think I missed one or two games the whole year, and I think the thing that really got me was the shooting percentage stat they flashed during the game last night. And that's the other team putting it to you. You know, when you lead the league in shooting percentage and goal differential for most of the year, and then all of a sudden the other team can cut that almost in half, your shooting percentage and your shots on goal, I don't know how you overcome that.
Yeah, they were the second best team in this series, and they finished in second.
Yeah.
It's pretty easy. Sometimes there have been times, Danny, where I remember watching them play the Penguins or the Rangers or whatever, and we get to an end of a series, they get eliminated, and it is so maddening and heartbreaking because I really think they were the better team and they got eliminated. I didn't have that feeling last night. It's actually going to be way easier for me to move on from this because it's a tip your cap series. This is a Carolina was better and deserved to win the series.
Mm-hmm.
It's easier when you just, you know, you get into a fight and you get knocked out. I think that's a little bit easier.
Yeah, the bigger, stronger guy who was trained in jiu-jitsu, whoop my ass. Yep.
When nobody gets knocked out and I should have won on the cards, but I'm told that I lost on the cards. That one's a little bit tougher. Let's go to Johnny in Fredericksburg. What's up, Johnny?
Hey, man, thank you for taking my call.
Hey,
I think overall the season was a success, but I will say moving forward, I don't think as long as Ovi and Carlson are on the team, we're just going to win another one. And it's because as the season progresses and the playoffs get more intense, like these passes got to be crisper. The reaction time has got to be, you know, way faster. And they just have to play faster. And I just don't think that they have, based on this series, they don't have the additional gear to take it up a notch. And they take up so much of our cap space and everything. And I love Ovi, man. Like, I love this team. I've been watching them for 20-plus years, but it's a long time. You know, he's like almost 40, you know. And that's all I pretty much got to say about that.
Yeah, they both have 1 year left on their deal. I'll be curious to see on the back end of that what happens because they both play at a high level throughout the regular season. Ovi was, you know, the Rocket Richard winner if he didn't break his leg and was out for 5 weeks. And Carlson logs huge minutes and plays much of the season at an all-star level as a, you know, plus offensive defenseman. But yes, there's just no doubt at the end of these years, if they're healthy, that's the caveat. We never know because hockey doesn't really say. But if those guys were both healthy, the way they played in the postseason, it puts a bad taste in your mouth. You know, going into the offseason for sure. But when you're 39 and you're 36 and you log those kind of miles, it stands to reason. It does get a little bit harder, which is why I think the roles ideally shift, where Carlson's not giving you 24 to 26 minutes and maybe he's, you know, a pair down from where he was or down lower and you can rely a little bit more on the smarts and the acumen and the being around the block. Ovi's role changes maybe moving forward.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Nerds. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.